pretty interesting because that kind of ties in with a lot of our stuff today, the fear not, even just in myself. Today we're going to be in Philippians 4, and I feel like we're going to be talking about contentment. And fearing not, I think, and contentment are very closely related. And so before we get into our Philippians study, let's go ahead and just pray about fear, just because Enola brought that up, and I feel like that's really relevant to us as a congregation and as a people. So please join me in prayer for God to bless us as we begin looking into his word. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that you have allowed us to gather. We thank you, Lord, for being our strong refuge, for being the God who is in control of all things. Lord, we thank you for your omniscience, for your all-knowing ability, Lord, that you are able to breathe creation into existence. And Lord, as many of us experience different fears, we ask, Lord, that we would bring them to you, that we would bring our concerns and our cares to you, that you would be able to speak understanding into our lives, that we would be able to trust you with whatever answers you may provide for us. Lord, there's a lot of things happening in the lives of the people of the way, and we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless us with a renewed sense of our relationship with you, that we'd be able to experience you in your word, experience you in prayer. And we just ask, Lord, that for all the families that may be traveling this holiday weekend, that you would keep them safe and that they'd be able to enjoy whatever activities they may have and enjoy those activities with you. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we're going to go to Philippians. We're finishing our study in Philippians today. And so if you're using the chair Bible, we're going to be on page 1042. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 23 today. And we're going to be talking about contentment. That's the thread that we're going to be following through this. And I feel like we can talk about contentment without having notes. Like, I have notes here, but I also feel like we're small enough right now. Like, we talked about fear. Like, let's just go for it, right? Like, let's look at God's word. Let's be content with whatever happens. Let's be content with the size of people that we have. And let's be content with what he wants to show us. And I think as Americans, we have a pretty big issue with contentment because we're a culture that is always unhappy about everything, really. I mean, like, we're unhappy with the way we look. We're unhappy with the way we feel. We're unhappy with the amount of money we have. We're unhappy with the way we spend it. And so, like, there's really just a lot of things that we're not content with. And now, whose fault is that? You know, like, whose problem is that? How do we deal with that? And I think Paul is going to give us some good insight on that as we explore the text. So let's go ahead and first look at verses 10 through 14 here, and then we'll go ahead and the first thing we're going to be looking at is content with our provisions, or content with the provisions. And just so you guys know, provisions, not a word that we use too often, but it's like what is supplied to us. It's like what we are given. So we're looking for contentment with the provisions, okay? Starting in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little and how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. Okay, so Paul has this situation here. And just so we can recap, because again, we are finishing Philippians, Paul has been under house arrest, under imprisonment. He has not had access to all of the things that he should, you know, a typical person would have had access to. And we see that just in the first couple of verses, in this paragraph, it's basically surrounded by Paul's situation. If we can get through that first. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. Paul was excited. Paul's excited that the people actually cared for him, that the Philippians knew that he had needs and that they were concerned about him. But it says that they lacked the opportunity to show it. And what that lacked opportunity is, maybe the situation just didn't work out. They didn't have the opportunity in order to fully provide for Paul. But again, in verse 14, it said, still you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. So apparently Paul was definitely going through some difficulty. We know through the imprisonment that had to be difficult, and the Philippians cared about him. But see, if we're going to look at contentment, these are the verses, like Paul's situation doesn't necessarily weigh a lot on us. It just kind of helps frames the situation for us. The part that this really gets into us and where we can relate to Paul is when we start looking at verse 11. And it says that I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. So our provisions can be broken down into two things. We can see that it's circumstances is one of the things that God provides. He puts us in certain circumstances. And so we may ask ourselves, are we content with the circumstances that we find ourselves in? I say for a lot of us, the answer would be no. I mean, like I'm telling you last week, I've been thinking about this a lot. And I had found a lot of uncontentment or discontentment in my own life. I mean, like, I don't know about you guys, but seriously, like, my circumstances have not been fun. They have been undesirable, to say the least. And I feel like a lot of us have been going through very similar circumstances. And so what are we supposed to do about that? Because I found, like, when my circumstances are not how I want them to be, I want to take matters into my own hands. I'm trying to change my circumstances. I am not comfortable here, so I'm going to do something to make it different. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is doing no work in this chapter. He says what? He says, I have learned the secret of being content, right? Is that where he says this in verse 11? He says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. So how is that? How could Paul possibly find contentment in these circumstances? I mean, if we're going to look at our circumstances compared to his, this is Arizona in 2024. I can go look in my garage, and I have more stuff in my garage or some other room in my house than some people probably have in their entire homes. And yet, I feel uncontent with my circumstances. Yet, Paul, who is in house arrest, finds himself content with his circumstances. So who has the problem? Is it Paul or is it me? You know, it's clearly not Paul. So how do I get more into that situation? How can I learn the secret of being content in all circumstances? Well, let's go ahead and continue on. If we see in verse 12, it says, I know both how to make do with little and how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Again, so not only is it the circumstances that we find that ourselves being lack of content, not only is it circumstances that we find discontentment in, but it's also in our material goods. Paul says he knows the secret of being content. My attention is just a lot of times where we feel that we are trying to find discontentment. If I only had more, then I could solve this problem. If I only was stronger, if I only had more money, if I had whatever, I could fill this hole. Yet, Paul brings up something interesting in this too, though. He says that the secret is being content not only with a little bit of things, but also with a lot of things. You see? And that is something that we don't think about often. Because if you have a lot of money in your bank account, a lot of times you're not thinking about discontentment at that point. It's always when we're lacking things that we end up finding discontentment. But I'm going to tell you from experience that just because you have a lot doesn't mean contentment. Like we did a remodel of our house, right? And that requires a lot of money to do a remodel. And I was blown away when we did the refinance. I was like, oh, this is cool. And it is not cool because that money, even though it was a lot of money, got nothing. It bought like nothing because every project you call a contractor to look at is 10 times more than you ever could have imagined. So even though I had a lot, I was still not content. I still didn't have enough money to do the things I wanted to do. But in perspective of my entire life, this is the most amount of money I've ever had. And yet at the same time, I feel like I am lacking. And so contentment can't be found in the stuff. So again, Paul's looking at the contentment not only in a little, but also in a lot. And so what we can see from this, if we're talking about learning the secret of contentment, is that it is not based off of materials, and it is not based off of circumstances. See, those things are going to fluctuate. The amount of provisions I have at any given time could be a lot or a little. My circumstances could be desirable or undesirable at any given time. But yet contentment can stay constant. And that's what Paul has figured out. Paul has figured out the secret of contentment. And so if we're looking at ourselves, again, I don't know where you are in, we'll say, your provisions. We could talk about your health. We could talk about your whatever circumstances you have, whatever amount your finances may look like at this time, family dynamics, whatever that may be, but where is your contentment right now? Would you say that you are content? Is it something that you would want to have? Is it something that you need more of? Well, if we continue looking at our chapter here, and we see in verse 12, it says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. All things through him who strengthens me. And so it has nothing to do with whether Paul is well-fed or hungry. It has nothing to do whether he is in abundance or in need. All things can be done through Christ who strengthens me. And so it's like our contentment has nothing to do with what is happening so much around us, but it has to do with who we are in relationship with. See, and if our relationship with God is good, then our contentment can be level. But if our relationship with God is not good, then we will never find the strength to be able to accomplish the things we're going to want to do. We're never going to be able to be content with the circumstances we're experiencing. Because no matter how good my circumstances are, I can always be a little bit better. There's always somebody who's a little bit healthier, somebody who has a little bit more power. There's always somebody who has a little bit more money. And it's not like I'll never find contentment in that. There's always another goal to chase. And so, again, it's like if I really need strength, like I was saying with the remodel example, like I didn't have enough money to do what I wanted to do. So there's always going to be something lacking when we look at material goods and when we look at circumstantial goods or circumstantial situations. We really need to find our strength in Christ. And how do we find our strength with Christ? Well, of course, we want to look at the gospel for that situation. See, the situation for us, or the circumstances for us, was this, is that we're sinners. We have rebelled against God. We are under God's wrath. We're in desperate need of a Savior. That is a horrible circumstance to be in if you don't have what you need. But see, what ends up happening with this is that God loves us so much that he sends his Son. He sends the perfect sacrifice. He sends us what we need in order to be restored to him. And so if we are able to put our faith in Jesus, in the work that Jesus has done, trusting in the sacrifice that Jesus has paid, then we'll be able to find the strength that we really need because our relationship with God is restored. And like, we can look to him, we can be content in all situations because it won't matter whether we have a lot or a little. It won't matter whether we're in good circumstances or undesirable circumstances, because if our relationship with God is good, then he will give us the strength to get through all circumstances. He will give us whatever we need at any given time. Because it's really, if we think we need something and God hasn't provided it, then the question we would have to ask ourselves is, did we really need it? And the answer to that is probably no. There's probably some way around it. But see, when we needed, our most important need was someone to set us right with God, and God sent his Son to do that. And if he is willing to provide us with his Son to take care of our biggest need, what other need could he possibly withhold from us? The answer to that is none. There is none. So that is our contentment with the provisions. And that is how we find our strength in Christ. That is really the secret that Paul is talking about here, is how to be content is to know that we have strength through Christ, that God sent his Son for our needs. If we continue moving on, and let's look at verse 15 here, 15 through 20. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so the second paragraph here, we're still looking at contentment, but what we're looking for at is contentment with the process. Contentment with the process. Okay, and when we're looking through this text, we see that the word shared, that the Philippians shared with Paul. And there was giving and receiving happening. Okay? And if we're looking at giving and receiving, that would be like our two subpoints of this process. Is a lot of times when we look, maybe if we're looking at sharing in general, what God has given us, if we're really content with the things he has given us, we're going to have open hands. We're going to allow things to come and go freely because our contentment is never going to be based off of how much stuff I have. It can't be. We already talked about that in the previous paragraph. So this is a chance for us to examine our own hearts. How connected are we to our possessions? Do we easily give them up? I think that would be what we'd have to look at. What in your life is something that you hold on to too tightly? What is it that you don't, you know, you have this, but you're not willing to share? These are the things that we have to be careful about because that's the things that we're putting our most trust in. It could be money. Maybe we just say, I just have enough for me. I'm sorry, but I don't have enough to share with somebody else. It can be food. It could be space. Any of our time, talents, and treasures. Any of these things that we're not willing to part ways with, it shows that we're trusting in something besides God. But something else that can happen with this too is receiving. Like, I've learned a lot about receiving because of my leg situation. I don't know, just like people open doors for me, people help me. And that's not me. I hold the door for you. I help you with something. But that's not the way, like, I have like old ladies at the grocery store that are like, here, let me get the door for you. And I'm like, really? Like, really right now? But like, that's where I'm at. And like, and I have to take it, you know? I'm like, okay, thank you. And I like hobble through the door or whatever it may be. Like some kid stopped and helped me, tried to help me, like, and you just saw me in my driveway, you know? And it's like, it's been very humbling. Like, if you're going to say anything, like, receiving is humbling. And that's, it's difficult because, like, I don't want to. Like, I still want to be young and healthy, and I want to be the guy that does stuff. And that's just not where I'm at right now. Like, God has put me in a different spot. But see, what's interesting about the situation is that I'm always relying on somebody. I've been relying on somebody forever. When I was a little kid, my parents always took care of me. Like, even when I thought I was independent, I was never independent because God was always helping me. God was always providing for me. And so by receiving, what we see is that it challenges our perspective as to how independent we really think we are. Because this is the process that God has chosen to help support Paul during these needs. Paul was using the Philippians. Even like the church in Macedonia or wherever these funds were going to help Paul, like the Philippians may have been giving and then another church is receiving. You see, and so like it's really required, I don't know, it's really just requires a lot of humility on our part to receive. Like I'm just thinking of even just like Maisie or my kids trying to do something for me. Like if my kids try to wash my car, like it normally doesn't come out very good. But like, what am I supposed to do? Like, just be like, oh, you didn't do a good job. Like, you can be a jerk about it. Like, that's not the way, like, I still have to receive from them. And it's cool when we're looking at receiving too, because it allows other people to use their time, talents, and treasures to serve others. You see? And so like, this contentment with the process, I think it really has to challenge our perspective as to what we're doing. Because a lot of times with church, we think of like, oh, well, the church wants our money, and we just got to give money. But that's not really what this is about. Like, what if we just accepted the process? Like, God has chosen this as his ordained way of providing for others. Like, I help you guys, and you guys help me. We help each other. Like, everybody's giving and receiving, so there's not any one person on top except for God. Everything's coming from him. And so I think that it requires a lot of humility on our part to be able to do that. And to see that, and to accept that. And I think, again, just knowing that, like, that we can see Paul caring about the process here, too, because I think it's in verse 16, it says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. And he said, and he continues in verse 17, it says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. The profit that is increasing to your account. So Paul's not really interested so much in the gift itself, but he's interested in the heart of the Philippians during this time. he's pumped up because the Philippians are looking for ways to help him out. And that shows that the Spirit is working in their hearts. It does. We're not saved by our works, but the works accompany a changed heart. And Paul's pumped up because he can see that in the Philippians just from their actions. And it's not just, they're not selfish actions like he's, like they're giving money so that Paul can come to them and do something, but that money is even going out to other churches. And in verse 18, we see, but I've received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied. I want to know what it is that Epaphroditus could have given to Paul during this time that made him say, I now have an abundance. I am fully supplied. What could he have possibly brought to this situation? Like, was it like a lifetime of sandwiches, like money? Like, what is it that he could have possibly got that made Paul say, you know what? I am fully supplied now that I have received your gift. I have an abundance. And that's, again, because it's not, it has nothing to do with the gift itself. It has to do with the gift of the heart of the giver. It has to do with the heart of the giver. Because even in the text, it goes on. He goes on and says, this is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And so Paul is even encouraging the Philippians during this time. It's not so much the gift that Paul had, even though it helped him. He cares more about the Philippians. He's ministering to the Philippians during this time, showing them that, you know what, I'm content with how God's working in your life. Paul's been sharing this lesson of contentment that he's learned through the house imprisonment with the Philippians, but he's also pointing out the things that the Philippians are doing right. And he continues on in verse 19 here, and he says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Going back to this reliance, the sharing relationship, is that the Philippians don't have, you know, like everything that they have is going to be coming from God. God is going to supply all of their needs. And the only way that God is going to be able to supply all your needs is, like, we have to accept that. It requires humility. We have to say, God, you know what? You're providing these things. I'm going to receive them. And a lot of times, like we saw in the first paragraph, is that not all of these situations are going to be desirable. But that doesn't mean that they're bad. You know, like our contentment has to be in God and trusting him in this process. Because I think that all of us can look back or think back of situations that we have experienced that looked horrible at the time, but either a couple weeks later, a couple months later, maybe a couple years later, we say, wow, God was really doing something, and I'm changed because of that. But at the time, you would have thought it was horrible. At the time, maybe you were discontent. But afterwards, you can say, you know what? Actually, I'm glad God did that because I didn't realize I had this problem or my relationship over here was a situation. And finally, for this section, it says, and the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that God gets the glory through this. And so if God has chosen this process, and we look at the gospel again, how do we find contentment through this process of giving, receiving, and sharing? And the answer to that is that, again, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus has lived a perfect life, fulfilling all of the law. And yet, he gives up his life in exchange for what? For lives like ours. In exchange for sinners like us. And that requires humility on our part. Again, it requires humility. Because how are we supposed to receive this? We can't earn it. And we have to know that's the way that God has allowed this to happen. Like he has given us the opportunity to see our own sinful ways. He has given us the opportunity to really hang ourselves because we have every opportunity to trust him and we've chosen to not do that. We have been discontent with the way things have gone. We have been discontent with what he has given us. And yet the most important thing he has ever given us was Jesus Christ. And through humility, we have to receive that. We have to receive that through faith and know that we receive mercy in exchange for the wrath that Jesus took in our part. And as we continue in this life after receiving Jesus, it's still, the gospel is still the process through which we find contentment. It's still shaping us. It's still applying to us every day. And it still requires humility. Finally, if we go to our last section here, starting in verse 21, it says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Okay, so the word greet, when you hear the word greet, what do you think of? See, when you Google it or look at the definition, greeting is like a welcoming, right? It's like an accepting. And if we're going to accept people, there's going to be two ways that we do that. It's going to be through our actions and through our communications. With the saints, and Paul says that greet all the saints, all of the saints, so everybody who's in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that that's a difficult thing for us to do, because there's going to be a lot of people that we're going to come across that we may or may not like. Right? There's going to be, you know, like even though we have a small, intimate group here, maybe we like everybody in our little group, but if we go to different churches, we may not find the same kind of love, right? And it's hard to greet other people. It's difficult. But we see, like, in this, it's like people from Caesar's house send their greetings to the Philippians. And that's got to be difficult for Paul, right? Because Paul's under house arrest. Who's in charge of the house arrest? It's the Romans, right? And yet, it's the people from Caesar's house that are sending greetings to the Philippians. So what, you know, Paul's done some ministry there. Paul didn't, you know, shy away from sharing the gospel with this group of people. And we just, what's amazing to me is just the grace. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Like, that is the only way that we're going to be able to greet other people. That's the only way we're going to be able to accept other people. And it's not to accept everyone the way that they are. But if we're all trying to follow Jesus Christ, then we're on the right path. Like, it's like our goal is to be obedient to him. And if people are trying to be obedient to him, then we're going to be able to show humility with each other, to work with each other, to share with each other. And really, when it comes down to this, we have to look at who God was content with saving. And the answer to that is he was content with saving people like us. You know, and we may not want to greet other people. We may be upset because they like this or like that, or maybe they don't talk to us in the right way. Maybe these people are jerks. But again, we are also jerks to other people. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We talked about this last week, is everything that we've always accused other people of doing, we are also guilty of. And that's really what it boils down to. And that's what requires that's where it's going to require humility on our part, to know that God was content with sending his son to die for people like us. If he's going to do something like that, that's going to be able to change our hearts. That's going to be able to shape us into the people that he wants us to be, to remember that he didn't have to save us, but he chose to save us. Really all I got, I think, today. Sorry, I mean, like, I don't know, like, I can go through the notes again, but I'm just saying, like, as far as contentment goes, I mean, look at this. It can be hard for us to be a small church and to find contentment with this. That's difficult. I mean, there's a lot of things I can stand up here and talk to you about contentment with, like my health. It's hard to be content with that. With the way my house may look, or things with my business, or the way that my family is going, you know, the size of it. These are all things that can be difficult to find contentment with. But again, the contentment is not found in those things alone, because if my family is just the way I want, my leg is just the way I want, my business is just the way I want, I'm going to find something different. The contentment cannot be found in that. The contentment can only be found in the gospel. And if Jesus Christ was willing to come and die for somebody like me, that has to be enough, because it was enough for the Father. It was enough to pay for our prices. It was enough to get us into good grace with him. It was enough to restore that relationship. And so let's go to the Lord now, and like let's allow him to speak to us in our lives where we need to find contentment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to gather and just to finish up this book of Philippians. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to see the importance of contentment, that we would know, Lord, that we find our strength in you, that you provide all of our needs. We just ask, Lord, that we would see that even though we may be in difficult circumstances, we may find ourselves in times of plenty or in times of need, that you are in control of all things, that you supply all that we need. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to welcome others, that we would be a loving community, that we would love others as we love ourselves, that we would know, Lord, that you came to the earth to save people like us, and that you were content in doing that, content in giving up your life so that you could bring us back into your kingdom. Lord, just ask that we would be blessed on this holiday weekend, that we would be blessed with our relationship with you, and that you would show us the secret of contentment, Lord, is because as long as we have you, we have all that we could ever need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.